we need to, within the DNC, empower our youth council, the Young Democrats of America, the College Democrats of America, and send them out to our college campuses.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, a New York State senator wants to head the DNC. Well, New York State Senator James Skoufis has launched a long-shot bid to become chair of the Democratic National Committee. Chair Jamie Harrison is not seeking another four-year term after November's losses, and voting members will elect a new leader on February 1st. Skoufis, a Democrat from the 42nd District who was just re-elected to a fourth term, joins a growing number of candidates, including Minnesota Democratic Chair Ken Martin and former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley. Skoufis doesn't have many connections in Washington and is largely unknown to the voting membership. But he says he's confident his self-proclaimed outsider perspective is just what the party needs. Skoufis spoke with my colleague, WAMC's Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Jesse King.
I'm clearly the outsider in this race. I'm not a D.C. Beltway guy. I'm not the product of a party machine. I'm not a decades-long operative within the party. I'm someone who is coming at this as an outsider who just knows how to win. And that's what we as a Democratic Party ought to be exclusively focused on, and it's what the next DNC chair should exclusively care about. And so I'm running because I'm able to bring a skill set here that I believe can reorient the Democratic Party towards a winning message and winning approach. I represent a district that Donald Trump has now won three times, most recently by a 12% margin, while I was reelected by 14 points. And it starts by showing up everywhere. It starts by meeting people where they are, speaking in a manner and with language that they can relate to and understand, that's not overly academic and overly politically correct. And so I'm running for DNC chair because I viscerally care about the future of this party and this country. And I believe I'm well equipped to be the next chair and collaborate with other stakeholders in making sure that we get back on a winning path.
Were you surprised by the results on Election Day?
I was not surprised. Obviously, sorely, severely, viscerally disappointed, among other emotions. But surprised, no. I think, you know, all the polling made it very clear in the weeks and months leading up to the election that this was bound to be a very close race. And while Donald Trump, yes, he won all of the swing states. He won most of them, with one or two exceptions, by about 1 percentage point, 1.5 percentage points. And so it was not completely surprising. And that said, though, we as Democrats, when was the last time we had a really big election night? We've got to go back over a decade to find an election cycle in which we swept. And since then, we've been engaged in one of two outcomes. Either we've lost, and sometimes badly, like we did a few weeks ago, or we've white-knuckled it to the finish line, barely scraping by with a victory. We need to coalition build again, repair on both ends our frayed Democratic tent, turn it into the big tent that it once was, coalition build, and get back to a dominating place in American electoral politics. That's what the next DNC chair needs to be focused on.
I'm curious, you know, like, how do you coalition build, or how do you think the Democratic Party should be approaching it in the future? Because, you know, I heard a lot about coalition building in the run-up to Election Day, and then it didn't look like it panned out. So I guess, what would you like to see Democrats do differently in that regard?
Our fundamental problem with most Americans right now is we have a reputational and trust deficit. And again, that's at both wings of the party. We need to, within the DNC, empower our youth council, the Young Democrats of America, the College Democrats of America, and send them out to our college campuses, peer-to-peer rebuilding among the college advocates, activists who no longer trust the Democratic Party, especially over the last couple of years. We need to, look, as chair, some of my first meetings are going to be with the firefighters union. First time in as long as anyone can remember, they didn't endorse the Democratic top of the ticket. I want them back in the tent. We have long lost our brothers and sisters in law enforcement unions. Are we going to agree with them on every single issue? No, of course not. But we don't even have a dialogue with them right now. They feel disrespected by the Democratic Party. I had 13 police unions endorse my reelection. I want to reengage them. So my first meetings are going to be with the leaders of the Arab American community who feel betrayed and distrust the Democratic Party. And we saw a massive swing in those communities against Vice President Harris. I represent an enormous Orthodox Jewish community. They feel betrayed and are distrustful of the Democratic Party. I'll be meeting with their leadership. That's how we coalition build. It starts by having a dialogue, being respectful, even if we don't agree on every nuance of every complicated issue. Far too many of these stakeholders, some of whom were once under our big tent, are now on the outside looking in, and it's by and large because they don't trust us anymore. I would be hyper-focused on rebuilding that trust.
In your announcement, you suggested wanting to embrace new technologies, but also warned against things like emails and text messages. I guess when you say you want to use new technology to reach voters, what do you mean by that?
I think you will be hard-pressed to find a single voter who was not annoyed to the point of harassed by the dozens, if not hundreds, of text messages to their cell phones, unsolicited emails to their email inboxes. And quite frankly, it turned off a lot of voters. They were hyper annoyed by, and in some cases viewed it as intrusive of their privacy. We need to be better employing technology on the ground and making sure that our volunteers who day in and day out are in the trenches of our party, talking to voters, going household to household, our partnerships with organized labor, our partnerships with civic groups, especially in these more urban areas where we saw a massive drop-off in turnout among minority voters. Put the new technology in their hands that helps them best target those voters who we need to be talking to, and equip them with the means and the resources to have those meaningful peer-to-peer conversations that begin to rebuild the trust that we desperately need to rebuild.
Are these things that you've been incorporating into your campaigns here in the 42nd District? I guess I'm just curious, you know, like, what is it from your experience in the state Senate here working from Orange County, New York, that you feel will translate on such a national scale?
My district is a microcosm of the country in a lot of ways. We have suburban and exurban communities. We have very rural, mostly deeply red communities in that part of the district. And then we have a couple of small urban centers as well. And so I've been able to go to all three or four of those different types of geographies and engage those communities in meaningful and intelligent ways, speak to people where they are in language that they understand. And those skills are transferable to just about anywhere in the country. And so, you know, certainly I over the past 12 years, I think my record speaks for itself. I'm undefeated. 8 wins and 0 losses. And these are not in blue areas or even purplish districts. Trump won my district by 13%+ this past election cycle. And we did about 25 points better. And so that's the recipe. It's not rocket science. And Orange County, where I represented, is very much similar to a lot of these communities that feel overlooked by the National Democratic Party, that feel disconnected from the Democratic Party's messaging and values. We've got to reconnect with those voters.
You consider yourself an outsider in this race. Have you been speaking with DNC members or leadership? Like, what does the path to DNC chair look like for you, considering you don't necessarily maybe have the allies like in the National Party leadership or in Washington yet?
It's a great question. And you're correct. As the outsider, I do not have decades-long pre-existing relationships with the 448 DNC voting members. Really, outside of New York, I am introducing myself for the first time to the rest of the DNC membership. I've probably reached out to close to 100 DNC members so far, just over the past several days. The message has been exceptionally positively received by the members that I've spoken to. They understand, they know that we need to do something differently at the DNC. We can't be returning to the same old playbook of installing operatives and products of party machines into these leadership roles and expect the outcome to be any different than it has been. And so the outsider status, I believe, has been a positive attribute in this race for a lot of the DNC voting members. And certainly, you know, once I get through the introductory phase, which I'm very, very engaged in right now, calling people from California to Oklahoma to Washington State to places like Guam and the Virgin Islands, once I get past the introductory phase, then I look forward to working extremely hard over the next 2 months to earn every single vote that I can.
As you mentioned, you know, you're in the process of introducing yourself to the voting membership of the DNC, but, you know, some have noted that this is also a way to potentially boost your profile in general if you are seeking a future congressional run or higher office in the future. You know, would you ever consider running for Congress in the future?
I'm solely exclusively focused on this run for DNC chair over the next couple months. I am not actively thinking about even remotely any other candidacies. I look forward to winning this race in a couple months and serving as DNC chair for the next 4 years.
If you are elected, does that mean you have to drop your position as state senator?
Technically, you can have both roles, but practically speaking, there is rightfully so an expectation among Democrats that the next party chair, given the state of the Democratic Party right now, be a full-time chair. And so if fortunate enough to be elected on February 1st, I would remain in the state Senate until budget negotiations were over. Under no circumstance would I feel comfortable leaving my district in a lurch during budget talks. And so once we got through the heart of budget and session, at that point, I would transition to becoming exclusively a full-time DNC chair.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.